Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
I was stuck, like totally stuck. I was stuck in unforgiveness, but that wasn't what bothered me. What bothered me is that I was stuck in anger. I had an abusive dad and growing up, and I hated him. So I became a Christian when I was 20 years old from a completely unchurched, non-Christian background. And I read the Bible for the first time, and I read in the Bible that I'm supposed to forgive. And so I wanted to forgive my dad because God told me to, and I knew if God told me to, then it was for my best. And I tried, like I really tried, and I tried, and I tried, but I just couldn't do it. And honestly, I probably would have been okay with that. I shouldn't have been okay with it, but I probably would have been, except for the anger. It was like I had this rage inside of me all the time. I'd get mad at anything and everything. I'd get mad at people driving on the highway. Learn how to drive. I'd get mad at people who chewed with their mouth open. Learn how to eat. I'd get mad coming out of a stranger's bathroom. Learn how to roll the toilet paper. It goes under, not over. Right? It goes under. Yeah. But, wow. We need to have some sort of a debate sometime. We'll have like a toilet paper debate here, Verv. All right. Got that idea. But here's the worst part. I would get mad at my wife for no good reason. Like, she didn't really have to do anything. I was just always mad. And then we had our first child, the son. And I realized I might always be mad at him. And I knew who I was really mad at, my dad. But I needed to forgive him, and I couldn't. And that's when two of my friends told me that I should go to this rehab recovery program. It was 27 weeks long. It was every Monday night. It was 3 hours every Monday night. There was lots of reading and homework and assignments you had to do at home. It was specifically for people with sexual issues and sexual addictions, people who kept having affairs but didn't want to keep having affairs, people who kept looking at porn but didn't want to keep looking at porn, people who kept sleeping around but didn't want to keep sleeping around. My two friends who had both gone to this program suggested that I go. I said, listen, I've got lots of issues, but none of them are sexual in nature. That's the one program I don't need. They said, yeah, but there is no program for what you do need, and so go to this one. You will learn principles that will work for your issue. I said, ugh, it would just be awkward. Like, I'd be with this big group of people. I'd be the only one without a sexual issue or addiction. They said, who cares? Just go. Do you want to be free or not? And I did. I wanted to be free. I wanted to be free of my anger. I wanted to forgive my father, but I had tried and tried and tried, and I couldn't. And so I did. I went to this rehab program. Ever been to rehab? Probably not. Ever been jealous of people who get to go to rehab? Probably not. Because, you know, people who go to rehab have serious addictions that they can't break free from. People who go to rehab, they don't know how to move past their past and what's been holding them back. People who go to rehab don't have the strength to do it themselves, so they have to turn to God and learn principles of recovery to finally move forward in life. Question, you may not have a serious addiction, but is there something you can't seem to break free from? And is there something holding you back that you just can't seem to move past? And has it ever hit you in an honest moment that maybe you don't have what you need, the strength you need to do it yourself? And so maybe you need to turn to God. Maybe you need to learn principles of recovery to move forward in life. It could be that you're stuck in your marriage. Maybe the two of you just can't seem to move past your past, and you're always fighting, or maybe it's not fighting, maybe there's just no passion, no romance. It's like you're just roommates living in the same house. Or it could be your finances. Maybe you're in debt and you can't figure out how to get out of debt, but you continue to spend more money than you have. Or it might be a relationship. I don't know, maybe with your parents, and you have these unhealthy ways you relate to each other, and you've been doing it for a long time, and you just keep doing it. Or you worry. You worry, and you worry, and you worry. You worry about your finances. You worry about your job. You worry about your kids. You worry about how much you worry. You worry. Or it might be that you're stuck spiritually. It's like you just know that there is so much more for you to have with God, but you, I don't know, there's something holding you back. You just can't seem to get there. And so I'm going to ask you again, have you ever been jealous of people who get to go to rehab? Because in rehab, people learn principles that actually work to move them past their past. And the truth is, we need to learn what people learn in rehab, because we all have things that we can't seem to get past. Our problem is that our problems are too socially acceptable. Really. Like, you don't get sent to rehab for being a person who can't give up control, or who can't forgive an abusive parent or an ex-spouse. You don't get sent to rehab for overeating or overspending, for being a people pleaser or a people manipulator, for looking at porn or not looking at the positives in life, for hating other people or for hating yourself. We wouldn't get sent to rehab for that. And that stinks. It stinks because we need rehab too. We all have things we can't get past, and we've all tried, but what we tried hasn't worked, and we don't know what to do. Some of us maybe have even given up hope. But listen, there is something that you can do, and you would learn what it is if you just went to rehab. And so that's what we're going to do in this series. People go to rehab because they have big, socially unacceptable addictions. This new series we're starting today is going to be rehab for the rest of us. Okay, it's going to be for those of us who may not have massive addictions, but we do have our addictions. Right? And our problems might not be socially unacceptable, but we do have our problems. Listen, if I can't forgive my dad, or I eat too much, or I'm too controlling, no one is going to force me to you know, have an intervention and send me off to a treatment center, but they should. They should, because I need help. And I'm guessing that you need help. And in this series, I think you're going to find it. I want to encourage you, come back for the entire series. Even if maybe you were just planning on just being here for Easter, come back for the whole series. For not for me, for you, and for the people you love, people around you in your life who need you to be a better version of you. Because what we're going to do is we're going to learn together how to finally move past our past and into the better future that God has for us. In fact, to try to kind of help us to remember the rehab principles that we're going to learn together in this series, each week we're going to give you one piece of this cube, and each week it's going to have the principle from that week on it. And so as you come back for the series, you're going to get the whole cube and be able to have that at home in a way that will help you kind of symbolize and help you to remember the principles that can get you unstuck. Today, we're going to start with principle number one, which is, I can't, God can. The reason I can't move past my past is because it's been me who's been trying to do it, but I can't. The good news is, God can. That's really the first and foundational principle that I learned when I went to that rehab recovery program, which is funny and ironic and a little bit embarrassing, because when I walked in there that first night, I already believed in God. I was already a pastor, okay? So when I showed up, it was as someone who had their faith in God and had surrendered my life to God. But what I realized in that program is that even though I believed in God and in God's power, my attempts to forgive my dad, which I had tried so many times, and my attempts to stop being so angry, were all done in my power. I had the right intentions. I wanted to be better for God and for the people I loved, people who needed me to be better. I had the right intentions, but the wrong strategy. the wrong strategy. I was trying my hardest to change. I was trying my hardest to change in my power. And at this rehab program, I finally realized I can't do it, which should have been abundantly obvious to me already because I had tried so many times so unsuccessfully, but it never was obvious to me. And so I went to this 27-week program, and guess what? That awkward for me, uncomfortable for me, time-consuming 27-week program I went through worked. I honestly didn't think it did, but it did. By the end of the 27 weeks, I had forgiven my dad, like genuinely from my heart, forgiven him. And the change that happened in my life was immediate, less anger, less rage. And it has continued ever since, the last 17 years. Like my wife, ask her, she will tell you, he is a completely different person, radically different person than he was 17 years ago. Finally, thank you, God, finally I got past my past. I got unstuck. How? Well, it wasn't through my power. No, it was through the power of God finally applied to my life, finally applied specifically to the area I was stuck in. Because I had tried and tried on my own, but it was only when I came to this realization, I can't, God can, and really learned how to apply his power to my life in my area that I finally got unstuck. And right now you're thinking, who cares? Right? Like, I honestly don't care about you. Why should I care about your story? Because, here's why, you have the same power available to you. That's why. Because you have the same power available to you. See, the problem is that most of us have tried. And then we tried some more. We've done everything we can. We've done everything we can think of. But we always end up back in the same place. And at some point, we just feel like just giving up. Because it seems obvious that whatever it takes to get past this problem, I don't have what it takes. And when you're in that moment, man, that is such a critical moment in your life. Because at that point, you can just give up or you can look up. I know that sounds really cheesy, but it's so true. You can give up or you can look up. You can look up to God and you can say the word, help, help. Here's the problem, and a lot of us know this. You can be totally desperate and still unwilling to say the word help. Totally desperate and still not willing to ask for help. For some of us, it's almost impossible to ask for help. Maybe it's tough for you because you were taught to be this autonomous, independent, pull yourself up by your bootstraps individual. And so the only solution that I consider for the problems that plague me is me, right? But me is what got me into all of me's problems and me's troubles in the first place. And I'm guessing that you have a me that's a lot like me, right? Your problem is me. Not me, but your me, right? It's like me is the one who loves to eat entire trays of Oreos. Is me really going to convince me to say no to me? Me is the one who feels kind of important and better than other people when I gossip about them. How is me going to get me to stop me? Me is the one who, instead of putting in the hard work to improve my marriage, tries to escape it through reading romance novels or going online and connecting with old friends or playing video games. How in the world is me going to change me's behavior? The solutions that we come up with and try for our problems tend to be of the self-help variety, and the self is the part of the problem. It's the issue. See, self is what got me into me's trouble in the first place. And to be clear, I'm not judging you, but because my me is just like your me. Right? When I look at my problems, man, I want so bad to point fingers and blame others and play the victim card. But the truth is, I got myself here. Me did it. It was me, right? And if I'm being honest, me can't get myself out. We have to ask for help. Even if we don't want to, we have to ask for help. But maybe you just are like, I don't want to ask for help. I'm going to rely on me, on your me. Or perhaps you have trouble saying help because you have a broken heart. Like you asked for help once and you were made fun of, or you were dropped. And right now you're thinking, please, Vince, don't ask me to say help again. I don't think I can do it again. But I need to tell you this. In God, not the God that you imagine and that you kind of conjured up in your brain, but the true God that we learn and read about in the Bible, in God, you have someone who loves you and will not judge you. In God, you have someone who is strong enough to catch you and who will not drop you. You need to ask for help. And listen, asking for help is not a sign of weakness. In fact, I would say it's a sign of strength. Right? It takes some strength. It takes some courage to admit, I realize I can't do this on my own. I realize I need a power greater than the power I have. And you need to do that. Because if you're stuck, if you're still stuck, the reason is because it's been you trying to get unstuck instead of accessing this power that can truly get you unstuck. The good news is that the power that got me unstuck is also available to you. In fact, I'm going to say that in a stronger way, in a bigger way. Ready? So it's more like this. The power that got Jesus out of a grave, resurrected from death to life, is available to you. I want to show you a section in the Bible. We're going to put all the Bible verses on the screen today. And if you don't own a Bible, like at home, you don't have a Bible, or maybe you have a Bible, but when you look at it, it sounds like it was written by Shakespeare. There's all these these and thous. It's because that Bible was translated in like the 1400s, and that's how they talked back then. And so if you would like a new Bible, or if you need a Bible, we give them out for free at the Velcro Bar. There's no catch, no cost. We'd love to just give you a Bible on your way out today. So the Bible is divided into 66 different books, and we're going to look in a book called Ephesians. Ephesians was written by a man named Paul. He was writing to a church in a town called Ephesus. The people who lived there were called Ephesians. And this was a church that Paul had started, so it's kind of like he's writing to his old friends and kind of sharing his heart with them. So we're going to start in chapter 1. The Bible's divided into chapters and verses as well. Chapter 1, starting in verse 16. Paul says, I pray for you constantly, asking God to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. So Paul's like, man, I have been praying for you, and what I'm praying for you is that you will know God more and more, better and better. Okay, let's keep reading. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Now, I realize that some of you are here today because you got dragged here by someone, or you lost a bet, or you started dating this girl, and she's like, you're coming to church with me if we're going to date, and here you are, right? And so you're here, but maybe you don't believe in this resurrection that Christians celebrate on Easter. I get that. I get that because I didn't believe in it either, but I do now. And the reason is not because of faith. The reason is because of all the evidence. In fact, last week we looked at a lot of the evidence for the resurrection. There's way too much evidence that we can look at in 1 week, but we looked at a lot. And if you missed that, you can listen to or watch that message on Verve's website or on the Verve app. Listen, the resurrection really happened, and it is the key to you finally getting unstuck in whatever area you feel stuck. That's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, listen, the same power that God used to raise Jesus from death to life is available to you in your life. It is an incredibly great power, and you can have it at work in your life. So, if you feel dead, if you feel dead in some area of your life, you don't need to stay dead, because resurrection power is available to you. If you feel stuck, you don't need to stay stuck, because if God can get Jesus unstuck from a grave, then he can certainly also get you unstuck from whatever situation you find yourself in. This is a big deal for us, isn't it? You have that same kind of power available to you. It's huge. And there's more. Because it's not only God's resurrection power that got me unstuck those years ago and changed my life so much. It was also the incredible force of God's unconditional love. That was another thing that I experienced in my rehab program. This is going to be embarrassing for me to admit, but I'm going to keep it real. So I had always struggled thinking that maybe God didn't love me as much, or maybe God didn't want to help me so much because of my unforgiveness and my anger. I knew the truth. I knew that God loves everyone. He loves everyone with a perfect love, but I could not help but feel like maybe I had disqualified myself by my persistent sin. And maybe you've wondered that too. Check this out. We're going to keep reading in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world." So he's saying, listen, you don't just, you think you feel stuck? You didn't just feel stuck. You were truly stuck. In fact, spiritually speaking, you were dead because of your sin. So these verses describe our condition, and it's really bad. It's probably worse than we imagined. But let's look at the next few verses, and you're going to notice that the next verse, verse 4, begins with the word but. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, starting verse 4, says, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead." One of the greatest words in the entire Bible is the word but. But there are several Bible passages like this one where it describes our condition, how messed up we are, how messed up we've made things, how we've gotten ourselves stuck. And then appears this incredible, amazing word, but. And it's a great word because when you see a but, it just changes the direction of what came before it, right? And so you've probably never been thankful for God's but you should. Because when God puts his but into your situation, it changes everything. In fact, you know how there's Christian t-shirts? Maybe you've seen somebody wearing a shirt with like a cross on it, or like, saved by Jesus or something like that. I actually have this idea for a line of Christian t-shirts with sayings like, actually, I have kind of like mock-ups that I've made, and so I'll show you some of the ideas I've been working on. You can let me know if you think this is good or not. So like, for instance, a shirt that says, "Saved by God's butt," or "I once was lost until my encounter with God's butt." Or maybe, what about this one? "Get off your butt and embrace God's butt." Or, "So God loved the world, he gave us his butt." "Get off your butt and grab God's butt." Or this is my favorite, I think, "God's amazing butt, how sweet the sound." Yeah, "I'm going to be rich," or "burned at a stake for heresy." One of the two is going to happen. Let's keep reading. So I want to start back in that verse with but, right? So the verses that preceded it was like, guys, we're screwed. Like, our situation is really bad. But then check out, right? It says, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. So this says that God saved us when we were from being stuck spiritually, or he's willing to save us if we just say yes, because of his grace. Not because of anything we've done, not because we finally decided to change our ways, not because we finally cleaned up our act, not because we finally did some things to earn it. Okay, did you notice, like, three times in that passage it said, it's not because of what you've done. It's not because of anything you could do. You couldn't do it. You could never get past your past. You could never get unstuck. But God can. And if you're willing, God will. Not because you've earned it, but because of his love, because of his grace. The word grace literally means to get the opposite of what you deserve. You might think, God doesn't love me. God doesn't want to help me. And you might think that because of your sin. But no, because God is a God of grace. He doesn't give you what you deserve. He offers you the opposite of what you deserve. He's a God of grace. So, do you have something that you can't break free from? Something you just can't seem to get past? And you have tried and tried. You've done everything that you can, but you always end up back in the same stupid place. And maybe you felt like giving up because it seems obvious by now you don't have what it takes to move forward. Well, then you are at a very important, critical moment. I've been there. I get it. I've spent my life feeling stuck in different areas. And if you're there, if you have tried and tried and it just hasn't worked, and you're about to just give up, you are at a critical moment. It is your chance, because instead of giving up, you can look up. You can realize that the power you need is a power that you don't have. I can't. God can. You know, the 12 steps, which have been so successful in getting so many people unstuck, begin with step one. We admitted we were powerless over sin, that our lives had become unmanageable. I can't. And then step two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. God can. Right, the first two steps is, I can't, God can. That's the kind of thing that you would learn in rehab. And we all need to learn that. Listen, what you need, what I need, what you need is the God of resurrection power. The God with the unbelievable force of unconditional love working for you and walking with you. His power coursing through your veins, releasing you from whatever has held you back for so long. You might be asking, yeah, okay, but isn't there more to it than that? Yes, there is. There totally is. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about the rest of this series, these next few weeks. So please, don't miss them. I realize some of you are probably feeling like, honestly, I was just going to be here once. Like Easter, I was just going to be here once. I get that. I get it. But I'll tell you what. If there's anywhere in your life where you feel stuck, man, come back for at least the rest of this series. Maybe there's some others of you who are like, oh, I will be back for the rest of the series. I need this because I am really stuck. In fact, I think I probably need more than this series can offer me. You only, what do you get, like 30 minutes a week? I think I need more help than that. Okay, great. Listen, we are starting a brand new recovery ministry next Tuesday, like 9 days from today, April 25th. And it will meet every Tuesday evening from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. And every single week there will be teaching on recovery principles. And then we'll break up into supportive small groups where you'll get to be in this group of people who will become your friends, and there's going to be confidentiality. And you can talk about the struggles and the things that you're wrestling with and realize that other people have those same kind of issues in their lives, and you can get loved on and prayed for, and we really hope that you will join us there. But no matter what, whether you don't come back, do come back, or go to the recovery ministry, it all starts with this first principle: I can't, God can. The power that you need is a power you don't have. And so you need to look up and you need to say this word, help. And I think that what saying help looks like, practically speaking, is believing in God and plugging into His power. It's believing in God and plugging into His power. You need to believe in God and plug into His power. So I realize some of you do believe in God, like maybe you put your faith in Jesus a long time ago. For others of you, like this whole believing in God, putting your faith in Jesus is very new. In fact, we just did a series last month where we spent 4 weeks looking at the evidence and intellectual reasons to believe in God and put your faith in Jesus. And that led some of you, a bunch of you, to do that for the very first time. When someone puts their faith in Jesus for the first time, their very next step is to get baptized. That's what the Bible says. There's in the Bible, whenever somebody believes, that same day they get baptized. In fact, there's one person who waits 2 days, and this Christian comes to him and says this line. He says, "What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on Jesus' name." And so baptism is a ceremony. It's almost like a wedding ceremony where a person is united in their relationship with God. And we happen to be doing baptisms next week. We're going to do them after each service. And we've got a bunch of people getting baptized. And maybe you're like, yeah, I think that's where I'm at. I think I'm ready to take that step. I believe in Jesus. I want to do that. Well, then we would love to help you with that. If you go back to the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place, there's going to be people back there, and they can tell you about next week's baptisms and sign you up, and we'll give you a call, and you can ask whatever questions you have, or if you want to, just do it. Happy Hour. I hope if you're new around here, I hope you'll stop at Happy Hour. Just like as soon as you walk out the door, you're going to see it. We've got snacks and just want to mingle and get to know you a little bit. And if you want to ask me questions about baptism, I could talk to you about that there as well. Others of you, though, you don't believe in God. You don't believe in Jesus. Or maybe you're just like, I'm honestly not sure what I believe. That's okay. In fact, realizing that you're not sure what you believe is a great, great starting point. And our church is full of people like you, full of people who are like, I'm coming because I'm not sure. Not because I am sure, but because I'm not. And maybe the next step for you, it's not maybe a recovery ministry. Maybe it's not baptism. Maybe it's just saying, all right, I'll come back next week. I wasn't planning on it. But I'll come back for this series, and then I'll see what happens. And if you do keep coming back, maybe you might just be surprised that you maybe might just find faith in this place. If you do, I think you'll discover that what you have needed all along to get unstuck is to believe in God and plug into His power, to plug into His power. So like you have electric outlets in your house, like at this very moment, that have things plugged into them, and then you have some that don't have anything plugged into it. That electric outlet with nothing plugged in is not giving any power right now, correct? Like it has power, but it's not giving power because nothing's plugged in. And listen, it doesn't matter how much power God has for you if you don't plug into it. And so what we're going to talk about in the rest of the series is these rehab principles that allow us to plug into God's power, specifically in the area of our stuckness and in a way that will allow us to get unstuck. That's what's coming. Before you leave today, we have something we like to do every week, which is just to give you a couple minutes to process all this before you go back out to whatever plans you have for the day. And so our band is going to play just one more song, and we're going to have some questions on the screen during the song that might help you to apply today's teaching to your life. During this song, we also have communion available on the candlelit trays, tables around the room. Communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given on the cross for us. And we take communion to thank Jesus and connect with the sacrifice that he made. And we remember that Jesus died on a cross for us. But 3 days later, he defeated death when he walked out of the grave. And so if you'd like to take communion, it's totally up to you. You can go get it at the tables and then bring it back to your seat. When you're ready, you can take that. So I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to give you a chance to pray or to interact with those questions or take communion if you'd like. All right? So let's pray. God, thank you so much just for loving us, despite us, despite our sin, despite who we are, where we've gone, what we've done. You still love us because you are a God of grace. God, help us to get unstuck. We need to believe in you, and we need to plug into your power. So God, would you give us more faith? Help us to believe. And God, would you use the rest of this series that we're going to do together to help us to learn how to plug into your power? God, I pray all these things in the name of the one who came and who died for us and who lived again. In Jesus' name, amen.